minister, you know, but the Lord began to deal with me, and Teresa just had to testify, and that really goes along with what I'm going to be ministering on tonight. But it would be maintaining your vision. And I look around here at church, and I've seen it over the years. I've been in ministry a few years, you know, and I've seen people lose vision, you know. How many knows we have to maintain vision? You know, if you don't maintain your vision, you'll lose it. A lot of different reasons. Could be trial. And Teresa taught, you know, we are at a place to where we've never been. Man, Teresa, financially and materially. But, you know, we didn't start off there. I mean, we started off, and, I mean, we didn't have nothing hardly, you know. And when we got saved. But we started listening to preaching and going to church and studying the Bible. And, I mean, it took Teresa hours to download sermons, you know, hours. We had dial-up, but we wanted the Word. And she would spend hours downloading sermons and series, you know, for us to listen to. And we would listen to them at home, you know, and listen to preaching and different things like that. And it started building vision of where we're at now, you know, years and years ago, you know. But you know, I mean, things has come over the years to try to get us our eyes off of Jesus, our eyes off of the promises, you know. And, you know, if you don't maintain vision, you won't, if you don't know where you're going, you don't know when you get there. You got to know where you're going so you'll know when you get there, you know. And I mean, I believe for a good marriage, and I got one. Bless God, if I'm the only one who believes I got it, I got it. Hallelujah. I fought for it. I believed for it. I stood on God's word. And you know what? There was times when it looked like we were going to get a divorce, felt like things were bad, felt like I wanted one, felt like, you know, be better. All of these things come, you know, to steal my vision, steal my dream of having a good marriage and a good life. And I don't mind it a lot, you know. I talk about that a lot. But that's one of the major things that God did. It brought me to where I'm at today, and I am very grateful for the Word of God, you know, the vision God gave me through His Word that I could have it. Not just He hates divorce, you know, but He said, He told me, He said, if you'll serve me, I'll bring your family back. That gave me vision that He's going to bring. They was gone at that time, you know. She had left and took Travis, and she was a little over a year old, and then I had many things to try, you know, to deter me from believing God. But I stood up and I said, okay, Lord, bless God. And sure enough, He did it. He did exactly what He said and been building ever since. But how many knows it is vital to have vision? I'm talking about God-inspired vision, Bible vision. Bible vision, what I mean by that is it says you're blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed to be the fruit of your body. And you when you get a hold of that, then you don't look at your circumstance. You don't look at where you're at. You don't look at how you feel. You don't look at you've got to have a calculator in the grocery store. You've got to, you know, you don't look at all of that. You there, you know it's real, it's happening, but that word carries you past it. And then causes it, just like I went to the grocery store, usually didn't go to the grocery store with Teresa, so I went to the grocery store with her. This has been several years ago. And she handed me the calculator, and I said, what's that for? She said, I got to make sure I don't go over. So I was having to add up the can of beans and figure the taxes, you know, and all of that stuff while we're getting to the checkout. And you know what? I told her, I said, I'm telling you, I didn't like that. I did not like that at all. And it didn't set well in my spirit. Now, in my flesh, well, that's just the way it is. You got to live in reality, you know. Now, you got to see reality in front of you, but you got to live in the future. Come on, somebody. You got to live in the future. And so I told her, I said, not many days from now, I said, you want to have a calculator. And bless God, I went out there and I told Satan, because, I mean, I didn't really realize in that, you know, that. Because I'd never been to the grocery store with her much. And so I told Satan, I said, you idiot. I said, I'm blessed going in. I'm the head, not the tail. I said, you mark it if you've got a calendar. So I talked to him roughly. You mark it in your calendar. Not many days from now, my wife will not have to carry a calculator to the grocery store. I said, in Jesus' name. I said, so be it. I said, hallelujah. And I got scripture for it. He said he's able to do abundantly above, greater than I can think or ask, in the grocery store. And now, but God, she don't even think about it. She didn't go to the grocery store, whatever she sees, she just gets it. She ain't thinking, well, I better know how I can't. See, some of you may be there. That's fine. That's good. That's a good place. That's a good place that God, because not far down the road, you're going to stand up and testify and say, I'm there, to where I heard Brother Scotty and Teresa. They came from there, we was there, and now we're here. But God, and God is a good God. You will if you maintain vision. Hallelujah. Give me that Proverbs 29, Beth, please. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there's no vision, the people perish. The word perish means to cast off restraint. You know what that means? That means just quit praying. Just quit fasting. Just quit acknowledging. They cast off restraint. Just whatever I feel, that's what I'm going to do. If I don't feel like praying, God understands, that's casting off restraint. But see, true vision knows that don't cast off that restraint. You don't cast away praying and fasting and going to church like y'all are. That is why y'all are all strong. Y'all come to church, that is why y'all are strong, one reason. I'm telling you right now, God orchestrated the church. So many, they lose vision because they quit believing. They stop praying. They stop fasting. They stop resisting Satan. Teresa had it on that 600-pound life. When I got in, I kicked back, you know. I try not to work too late on Wednesday, you know. I try to be home 1 or 2 o'clock, rest, take a 30-minute nap or so, whatever. And so she's sitting over there, and Dr. whatever his name comes in. Yeah. She's lost 40 pounds in 4 months, supposed to have lost 80 pounds in 4 months. And so he's talking to her, and she says, oh, I've been on that strict diet. He knows she's lying. He knows it. You know, I eat a lot of vegetables and a lot, and then he said something. I don't know what he said. And then she said, well, you know, I mean, I eat a good bit of it. And so, but anyways, Teresa, after that, my point to this is, Teresa said, what was my point? What did you say? I never forgot what you said. Oh, she said, I know what she said. She said, the reason she is there is simply yielding to the flesh. Just yielding to the flesh. Simply is the reason why she's 600 pounds. But see, she thinks the gastric bypass surgery will help her. But that's not what's going to do it. There has to be a changed mindset. There has to be a changed heart in the lifestyle after the bypass surgery. I mean, there has to be control in the flesh. You know, and that, I mean, you bring that into here. I mean, there's a fear going around now about the recession. And I'm already thinking and saying I'm not a part of it. And I told Teresa the other day, I said in 2001, I said that we was in a recession and I didn't even know it till it was over. And then somebody asked me, they said, how is it since you've been in the recession? I said, what recession? I said, I didn't know we had one. Well, the news, I wasn't watching the news very much at all. I didn't have time to watch the news. So I didn't feed on the recession. I didn't feed, so it didn't touch me. I didn't honestly know we had one. And I attribute that to the Word of God, to not partake. See, if I partake in fear, I'm partaking of like the world under the curse. You know, God knows, I mean, He knows our future. You see, the enemy tries to come just like you know, the last 2 years, the pandemic, I mean, it caused a lot of people to lose vision. It caused them to lose vision going to church. It's never recovered like it should. Ours did. We didn't suffer that much. We didn't lose people on account of COVID. I mean, you know, we just didn't. And I believe it's because the word come forward. Somebody told me, well, we don't want to hear about COVID all the time. I said, I'm not preaching about COVID. I said, I'm preaching about staying on top of COVID. I said, I bring it up because I've been redeemed from COVID. We've been redeemed from COVID. And I was bringing it forth like that. I wouldn't say, y'all wearing 3 masks like the news is telling you. Good God, don't get around nobody. What would I have done? Stole your vision of healing, protection, and angels, and a shield of faith. And that's what would have happened. That's what a lot of them did. They give in to that. And then the more that they didn't go to the house of the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, the less they lost their strength in the Lord. And now some of them can't even get up and fight a battle out of the bed to go to church. Or if they have a little hard day, they can't go to church. You know, I'm not downing them. I'm just telling you they've lost vision. They cast off restraint. They quit telling the flesh you're not staying home. They quit telling the flesh you know it's just, this is just the way it is. The Apostle Paul said, while we look not at the things that are seen, they're temporary. Just like me laying my hands. I mean, I looked at my house payment and the interest something. I mean, 15 years ago. And I only looked at it one time because the interest was way more than the house payment. And I didn't look at it no more. I told Teresa, I said, I don't want to see that no more. I just don't want to see it. Why? I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on my house being paid off. I'm going to focus. And so I would go out and I would lay hands on my house and I would say, thank you, Lord. This don't belong to me and Wells Fargo. This belongs to me. And you know what? I'm at the point to where I can pay it off right now. And I've never been there before. I'm choosing not to because I'm in control. I'm in control. See, God wants you in control of life, not life controlling you. Circumstances come and they feel they're going to control you. But if you'll let the word be your lamp, your light to your path, if you'll let it, life can't control you. Your body can't control you. Finances can't control you. People can't control you. See, you've got to forgive people before they ever do anything to you. That way, when they do something to you, you've already forgiven them. You've already built up a deposit of forgiveness on the inside. So none of that moves you. Hallelujah. But you know, the key to it is staying strong in the Lord. Praying, fasting, keep coming to church, and y'all listening by way of internet. I don't care what your mind says or your flesh. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner as some are, and much more as you see the day approaching. Encourage one another to go to church. Find you a church. Go to church. Go every service you can get. Hit revivals. Tell your flesh, you're not going to be weak. You're not going to keep me down. The Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong. I've said it more than a million times. Felt weak, attacked by things. And it'd come out of my mouth. I'd say, thank you, Lord. I'm strong in you and strong. I go in your name, in your power. And you know what? When we do that, grace comes. It's not just a positive. Somebody told me the other day, they're in the family, so I'm going to mention no names. They might be listening. Told me the other day, they don't serve God. They don't walk with God. Not God in their presence, you know. And they said, well, you know, we just got to keep a positive attitude. And I started to tell him, well, you know, go turn on Oprah Winfrey. You're going to get enough out of her to keep that. It ain't about having just a positive attitude. It's about having a mindset like Christ Jesus, like God, through the word and the anointing. And people can read their Bible without God, but they will not get revelation like the people that follow God. They won't get it. It's hid. It's hid. It's not hid from them. It's hid for us. Jesus said, if they had have seen and known, they would not have crucified. He kept it hid. if they would have known, if they had turned to him and received him, they'd have knew it. They would have knew this is the Messiah. This is Jesus. See, I didn't have a reality of Jesus till I let him in my life. I did not have a reality. I had a head knowledge. I'd heard the stories. I'd been took to church. But that day, I had a heart knowledge that he died for. And you know what? I've walked away from God before, and life is just not good without him anymore. I'm telling you, when you get used to the presence of the Lord and the Lord working things out and keeping you strong and keeping you with a good attitude, then when you get outside that, you are one miserable being, if you're anything like me. And I believe everybody is. That is why we can't afford to let down and lose vision. We got to maintain vision. How do I do that? You're attacked in your body with sickness. Don't start speaking it. Don't start meditating on it. Don't start meditating. Life is just bad. Everybody. Somebody told me, I scratch easier. Johnny, I did that on a basket. I'm 55. Somebody that was 62 or 3, they said, my flesh is just rotten. That gave me vision, didn't it, Johnny? 65, I'm going to be like a rag doll falling apart. I'm rotten. And so I started saying, I'm not going to think like them, Lord. You said your spirit would quicken my mortal body. You would strengthen me. That's what I'm saying. It's trying to get me to lose vision at 65. That's 10 years. I might be translated out of here before then. Hallelujah. So why am I going to concern myself with somebody, what they're experiencing? That's why the Lord told me, and you need to not do it, never believe based on somebody else's experience unless it is a testimony of the glory of God that they have got from him, from the Word. People tell you, well, I tried that tithing, but it's given. A preacher told me he'd give his way to poverty. And I said, that's not possible. I said, where's the scripture for that? I said, the Bible says give. And I said, your problem is you was not led. Satan robbed you somehow. You got in the flesh somehow with your goodness and your love. Because he loved people, and I knew he did. But he's preaching his experience to me. And so I started thinking, man, you know, that could give me a wrong impression of giving. That can cause me, ain't no need, there ain't no sense in giving. You know, because you're just going to get broker and broker. You're going to end up with nothing. That's a lie from the enemy. I'm not going to believe based on that guy's experience. Right? Now, it's real. He's broke. He ain't got no money. And he's giving. He's helped people. All of that was facts. But he's believed a lie. He's believed a lie. Well, that lie stole his vision of giving. Ain't no need in giving. See how easy it is? You've got to maintain vision. At one time, he's like, no, giving it shall be given unto you good measure. I mean, knows the scripture and all that. But the circumstances came, and it stole his vision. And so I helped him. He didn't like what I said, but I really don't care. You preached it to me. You preached that to me, what you believe in. And what you believe in ain't lined up with scripture. Because now I've done it all these years, and I'm blessed. I mean, pressed down, shaking together, running over, picking up business. I mean, I just deposited a $10,600 check on a $20,000 job. I'm amazed that they send me $10,000 without a ticket. I just deposited. Told a guy the other day, I said, I need $4,300. He said, it's in the mail. Told another one, I need $2,200. It's in the mail. I'm just putting money in the bank. Good thing I'm saved, baby. Woo, baby. Woo. Even the enemy, I'm not tempted with that now. I mean, I'm very good steward on that. I make sure I don't spend nobody's money. I make sure of that. I don't spend nobody's money. That product gets in, they send me the rest of it. I don't put it in the bank till I go do the product and get it in. See, you gotta maintain vision of being like the Lord. He's given us talents. and we're going to do what we're supposed to with our talents. And he said, take from the one that didn't do nothing with it, give it to me. I'm taking it. Man, bless God, blessing coming. Somebody told me one time, well, I just want to believe God for just enough to get by. I don't want to be greedy. I said, that is greedy. I said that's stingy. I said, just go ahead and believe for chunks above what you need and just send me the rest of it. Don't not believe. Just take what you need and give me the rest of it. Bring the rest of it to the church. That made them mad.
Well, if I did get some, wouldn't give it.
Thought you only needed what you wanted, what you needed to get by. Well, then what does it matter about the rest of it? I said, God wants to prosper you. See, that was the level of vision the lady would have. When God wants to take us higher, when he just quoted the scripture in Isaiah over there, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are much higher than yours. They're higher than ours. Thank God. And I really, truly thank God. But people, they stop believing. Now, I believe God. Well, see, I didn't really have a good example of somebody that's Christian and going through and thinking they're believing God until Teresa. I went through there and she said, I'm stuck in this body. I mean, she's in there. That just shows you we're not, our body's not us. She's in there, and I don't know what to say because I've fasted for her, Johnny. Days. I've went 2 or 3 days and skip a day and do 2 or 3 meals and bind the devil and bind principalities and rebuke sickness and rebuke that off of her. And I did all of that. And now I'm just standing, I don't know. I'm just standing, believing that what I've rebuked and what I've done is going to come to pass in her life. But nothing's happening. So I walk in and she says that. And I don't know what to say, so I go back in there and take my clothes off, whatever I was doing. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, she's got to fight. And I thought, she just told me she's believing God. We're believing God. He said, she's got to fight. He said, there's a difference in believing and fighting. And I didn't have that revelation until then. So glory to God, I got excited. So I walked back through there, and I told her, I said, you got to fight. She said, I'm believing God. I said, yeah, but there's a difference in believing God and fighting. Satan believes God and trembles. So I had a revelation. So then that explained a lot of stuff to me. Then people's lives, why they suffer lack, why they don't get the promises to come to pass. Hallelujah. They don't keep believing when it don't look like it's happening. Therefore, they stop the process of the Word of God manifesting the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the grace of God, and the faith of God. You can lay it down. The Bible says, Paul said some had made shipwreck concerning faith. What does that mean? They laid it down. They quit believing, I guess. I mean, he didn't explain it. He just said they make shipwreck. See, it's easy to believe God when you got your house payment. It's easy to believe God whenever you got all your bills paid up and you ain't having no trials come. You know, it's pretty easy to believe God and praise God when you're on the mountaintop. But you know what? We're not promised the mountaintop. We're promised a battle. We're in a war. We're in a war for the soul of America. We're in war for our homes. We're in a war. And it's a good war because the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. See, faith puts you in a place of rest and not struggle and battle and dread and dreary. Faith puts you in a place of action. Faith puts you in a place. See, when you keep vision, you'll keep faith. Travis just told me, he said, if I continue on with my saving, everybody ought to be saving money. I don't care if it ain't but $5 a week. Everybody ought to be saving a little money. Not just for a rainy day. That's the world saying. Because we're supposed to be blessed. If I'm broke and God tells me to go do something for one of y'all guys or somebody, then I just have a dream of doing it. But if I'm not broke and he tells me to do something, then I can go do it. I just go do it. Praise God. Well, just like this. Now, I guess that's our mission. One of our missions is India. Seemed like God hooked us up. And, you know, we took care of a bunch of folk for a year for a few thousand dollars. And he sent me some pictures where it's flooded over in India. And a lot of the villages, they evacuated them, put them in temporary little tent places. No water, no food or nothing. And people's calling on him, you know, because he's helped people. Once you begin to, they see God working in your life, people will start calling on you. And you want them to. You want to be able to believe God. Just don't take the pressure on yourself. But anyways, sent me some pictures and just told me be praying for them. He didn't ask for no money or nothing. Didn't ask for none. Be praying for these lepers. He had pictures of people's lepers. You read lepers in the Bible, they're here. They're on this earth. These lepers. Just like you read in the Bible. They're over there. But anyways, a couple of 3 days, maybe a week goes by, and I couldn't get it off my heart. I just couldn't get it off my heart. So I'm sitting there, I guess it was last Thursday, and I told Teresa, I'm sitting on the couch one evening, I told her, I said, I'm thinking about sending Porna Chad, Porna them, Pastor Porna, some money to India. I've been thinking about it. She said, I've been thinking about it too. And I said, we're doing it. So we sent them $1,000. They got it Monday, black God. And he's already putting food together and to help those folk over. You know what? We are a miracle to them. I mean, you take most of us, not all of us, but you take us back before we serve the Lord. There ain't no way we could even dream about taking care and feeding and the homeless over there and food and to India and taking care of 34, 35 families for months and months for a year. And never, it didn't cause us to sweat it. I didn't have to look at the bank account. We all... Pastor, we just can't afford it. I've never told him we can't. I've never told anybody I can't afford it. Why? Because through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. We can do what God said. I don't care if you don't have the means, the circuit. I mean, if he puts it on your heart to be debt. And you can't see it, don't look at it. You dream it. You talk it. You breathe it. You think it. You meditate on it. And I mean, you call yourself debt-free. If you can't save no money, you're having a hard time, start speaking to yourself. I saved. Travis told me just, I think it was today, he's got a savings, you know. The more you get, the more excited you feel. You know, the more you save when you, you know. And he told me, he said, by the time I'm 50, I believe it was 50, he said, I'll have thus and thus such money. Then I took my calculator and I went, I was looking up how much my savings is. And I thought, well, I just upped mine. See, God been speaking it here. So I've had a saving account and I just went and upped it. He's speaking it. So therefore, if he's speaking it, then I got the anointing and I've got the grace. So I just stepped out and did it. I went, so I figured mine up, and I thought, whoop, 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 whoop. Time I'm 65, whoo, baby. Whoo, baby. I told Travis, I said, well, I said, I've been believing all this time I'm not going to have to live off Social Security. Well, I'm doing something about it. I've been doing something about it since 50, 53, really, about 53. I've been doing something about it. And it's paying off. It's paying off. Praise God. See, now, I mean, you know, when I'm speaking these things, if you're not there, don't get discouraged. Do not get discouraged. Do not think you can't do it. Change your mindset. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he will enable you. He will help you. He will empower you. He will help you to. I went in the bank. They're just begging me to get credit cards. Well, interesting. interest rates right now, you maxed out $5,000. Your payment was 200 something minimum. Now it's going to be 500 something. The interest just went up 3/4. Credit cards is going up. They going up. If they was 29%, they're going to be 34. Walked in there, she said, Dan, you need a credit card, don't you? Cadence Bank credit card. And I said, I didn't know I needed one. I started to say, pull up my banking account. You think I need one? I said, well, I didn't know I needed one. Oh, well, we got 0% interest for 6 months. I said, how much is it after that? 6 months is going right on by, Johnny. Every day. And then, there it is. Oh, 6 months is up. Good God, there's the interest payment. Why would I do that? Because you didn't think. I told her, I said, no. I said, listen. I said, I've got a big credit card in my wallet right now. I said, I don't use it. I said, I've already got one. I keep that in there and stay disciplined. I used a $10,000 one because I couldn't save a dime for nothing. I could, my flesh just out of control spending. And now, but God, I can control it. I stop stuff that I want to stop instantly. One of our second water, I bought me a big pump, man. I believe God for, I got a big one. I mean, it's a big Detroit, screaming Detroit. Got a big 5-4-inch and 2-3-inch outlets. It's got big rich. You suck that, boy, I'm telling you, suck some water out, punch. I went over there and I thought, but God, finally, after 2 or 3 years, I got me something that'll pump that water 1,000 foot. I couldn't get nothing. Did it pump over a 1-inch stream 1,000 foot, and I did it. I burnt them little pumps up, boy. I went and took my big 10-gallon tank, went over there and mounted it on a bucket because I only had a little gallon and a half, and I'd had to run that about for 2 hours. Fill it back up. So I went and got me a 10-gallon tank. Just, I mean, but God, that baby's running 8 hours straight. Then I checked oil in it, change it, after 8 hours of hard pumping. Well, anyhow, I believed God, and I said, Lord, I just want to, well, I went down there, got it set up, Bob, pumped some water, man, my pond's full up there near. But you know what? I went and filled 3 jugs up, and it was $75 worth of diesel fuel. And so I thought, I don't really care about the money, man. I'm blessed, Lord. I thought, but this is the last pump until that diesel fuel falls. I made up my mind. Now my mind, oh, fill it on up, fill it on up, fill it on up, fill it on up. Oh, them fish need some oxygen. Hurry back down there. He's trying to rob me now. Satan's trying to rob me. Trying to drive me crazy over the fish need some oxygen. And I told Satan, I said, shut up, idiot. I said, God will tell me in here if they need something, some oxygen to breathe. I'm not spending no more money on diesel fuel right now. I refuse it. Why? I'm in control. See, you're in control. Well, go pump 2 more. That's $160, 2 more tanks. I'll put that in savings before I'll do it. I'll just act like I did it. Put it in savings. If he messes with me, that's the way you got to think, though. If Satan messes with me, Travis, one time he get a little, he got his Eddie savings going. Now, I'm not just preaching about our life. This is the way the Lord wants all of us to where we're in control. Our flesh is not in control. The fears are not in control of us. The recession's not in control of us. You don't start discipline. When things hit, it will get you every time. It'll get you. I never forgot what I was going to say. Something about Travis. It was good, son. Praise God. What was I going to say? Have no idea. All right, give me that Joshua. He told Joshua. Now look, Moses has died. And Joshua's taken over. And I don't know at this point if Joshua knows what he's going to have to face going to the promised land. I don't know that he told him, he said, I'm going to give you the land that I told you, Moses, to tell you. I'm going to give it to you. And I don't know really if Joshua knew all the physical battles and taking the enemies out of the lands that God, I don't know if he knew that or not, but God knew it. And so God told him, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest deserve to do according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then that thou shalt have good success. Go ahead, Beth. Have not I commanded you? He's telling Joshua, now I'm commanding you. He said, have I not? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Don't get all confused about things. He said, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so why I'm saying this is I read that years ago, and I didn't take it like all the rules and regulations. I didn't even know about them that they had back there to serve God. I didn't know about them at this point in my life. All I saw at that time is he's telling Joshua that you've got to observe, not take your eye what to do, and he's told you what to do. You've heard him, you've listened to him, and all of that. And so you've got to meditate on what I told Moses that would prosper him. Well, I saw that back yonder, and I thought, the Bible, the Word of God, if I'm going to get into Canaan land, my Canaan land here, not them. He's telling them what to do, and they did. Caleb and Joshua went in. The rest of them died out in the wilderness. They got to looking at the heat and, the manna and the way that God was doing. See, God has a process that he works in our lives. It's not always the process that we want. You know, just like, telling Sandy, your filter stopped up. Now, I'm like, what? What filter? She knows what filter. I didn't get that out of that sermon. I know she talked about filters, but I didn't think I had a stopped up filter. But God spoke to Sandy the way, now, that might not have felt good to Sandy. Then Sandy testifies. She said, well, now, I mean, you got to make yourself, in other words, now, you got to meditate. That's what he's saying. When you get out there in that wheel, don't start looking at all that stuff. Don't start looking at them giants. Don't start looking at your marriage and your finances the way it is now. You got to make yourself meditate on the Word of God. Make yourself just like you did. Some of you could have stayed home. You were tired. You worked all day. But here you are. And God's going to bless you. God is going to minister to you. God's going to bless you in everything that you do. He said everything that you touch will be blessed. Everything you lay your hands to do will be blessed. Hallelujah. I believe it. I told Trace I started this pool thing. I think it was my tree that I hated to take down the most. Big, beautiful. Red oak. Huge. And then, after I got the tree down, the battle began. I'm going toward a vision. I'm going toward a pool. Well, the first thing I experienced is 5 hours with a huge backhoe. It was rolled down into rock, of all things. That's why it blew over. It was founded on the rock. That baby done rooted, got its roots down through into them rocks. How many know we got our foundation on the rock? I believe it would have took an F5 to blow that baby over. It just got big and rooted down through there and strong and that's the way we are up to this point right now. And so, I had to dig and bust out rock. It took me 5 hours with a big backhoe to dig that up. And I mean, I got done with that, and then it was so big till, I mean, the backhoe barely got it out of that yard. Barely. That's a big backhoe. You've seen it. That's not a toy. I mean, it's so big, and it's a 15,000-pound machine. I picked up whole trees with it. I mean, And so, anyhow, I finally got that out, and I thought, glory to God. Ooh. I mean, the pool, I read the instructions on the pool. It takes 60 minutes to put the pool up. I've been 4.5 weeks to get it ready for the 60 minutes. And I'm like, but God, I thought, this must not be the will of God. This can't be the will of God. And then I thought, no, man. I bet you Aubrey and Aiden say, yes, Papa, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. We know Jesus wants us to have a pool. And so I thought, but God. And so I thought, oh, praise God. I get up there, Johnny, and I'm all excited, man. I start digging, and I'm thinking, just take this little bit out. And Teresa wanted it here, over here, and the further over here, it was a big rock comes off of that, and I hit that rock. And I banged on that rock. I thought, I got to bust this rock up. She wants this poo here. I'm an hour and a half banging. I'm trying to get the rock up. I can't move the rock. So I get off, and I'm frustrated. But God, I thought, well, but God, I just think, I'm telling you right now, something ain't right here. I mean, just because hardships come don't mean things ain't right. It's hot. I'm frustrated. I mean, I'm thinking 60 minutes to put the pool up. Why can't the ground just get dug? So somebody told me the other day, said, well, I guess you'd have paid the $400. I said, that's just to put it up. I said, that ain't talking about the groundwork. I said, if I'd have paid somebody, there's no telling. They'd bust the rock up. They'd have to haul that sand out, haul dirt back in, build it up and all that. I said, that's just to put it up. I said, it's 60 minutes. I'm going to make $400 in 60 minutes. Well, a few times I went, and I told Teresa the other day, I might have been yesterday. I finally moved it over. I'm down there, and I'm like, I can't put that pool where you want that pool. And that upsets me, Johnny. She wants the pool where she wants it. And it bothers me that I can't put the pool where she wants it. That bothers me. That might not bother anybody. Used to, I didn't care. I don't care if it's in the woods. I'll put it where I want to, and you go swim in it. But I want her to have what she wants. And so anyways, I thought, well, it is what it is. You know, and I told her, I said, I can't put the pool where you want it. I said, you want it over here and blah, 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 and all that. Well, I told her yesterday, I said, this is one of them projects I wished I'd have never started. She didn't tell me you got to go cool off. She usually tell me, go cool off. Just rest. Just take you a nap. You know? And so I thought, after I calmed down, see, you got to stay calm, man. I don't care if it's about your house payment. If it's about, I'm talking about a swimming pool right now, but it ain't about that swimming pool. I will finish that swimming pool in the mighty name of Jesus. It will be finished. I can do all things through. See, in these times, you got to remind yourself of who you are, who's in your life, who's with you. And so Teresa, just put it wherever. And I said, okay, I got to move it this way. So I got to move it that way, and lo and behold, the rock was still down there. It just come down further, Johnny. And now she says, well, just put it right there. I said, I shut it down. I said, I've got a problem. Oh, what kind of problem? I said, I don't want a mountain that I look at with a pool setting up on it in my backyard. I said, in order to put that pool there, I've got to bring this up, and it's going to be deep. Well, it is what it is. I said, okay, all right. And so I go haul in some more church, Johnny, and haul in some more, and then I hauled in a load of sand that the dude gave me. And then I thought, oh, yes, Jesus, the last load of sand. And so I go up yonder to the rock crusher yesterday evening, and I buy the last load of sand, I think. And I get back, and I'm all excited. I don't even wait till the sun goes down, dude. I mean, I'm on that little tractor right out there in a wide open hot, man, and I spread her out, and then I pull the line, and, Johnny, I'm still 2 inches shy. Have you ever felt like it's never going to end? Don't quit. Then's not a time to quit. Then the time to gear up, the Bible says, gird up the loins of our mind. That means prepare our mind for action. It just don't mean up here preaching. It just don't mean, you know, when we're having to tote boxes on a Saturday morning and it's raining. I'm believing God it rains on y'all. I want some rain.
We got to get wet.
You won't melt. I'll get out there with you, but God, I'm Indian. They did rain dances, I think. I'll just dance in the rain. I need some rain. I want it. I'm getting it. I believe it. I receive it. And I'm not going to just expect it to come Sunday. Whenever it gets here, but God, it's mine. Hallelujah. Amen? But see, we got to maintain vision. See, when things happen in our life, some of it, I mean, is for development. There's nothing goes past God's desk without approval that comes into your life. The devil can't tempt you without God approves it. Huh? Now, some things come into our life, other people. Satan can use other people. We just have to deal with that the same way we do the swimming pool. Ain't no devil involved. If I quit, I can't say the devil is discouraging me. He just said, no, well, you didn't. I did. So I made up my mind. I thought, well, but God, back to the sand pit. This old boy is going back to the sand pit. And but God, this is going to be the last one. And I thought, even if it ain't. And I thought, well, I've got dirt about this high. It's going to be about that high. And I'm looking at the bank. And I thought, well, you know what, but God, I believed you for a block wall down there, Lord. I'll believe you for the red stack rock. And I'll make me a nice wall around that pool. And then I'll plant some pretty flowers in it. And then when I look up at the pool, it'll be an oasis. See, you just take your circumstances and believe Romans 8:28. And if you do that, you'll see past the pile of rock. You'll see past the big dirt. You'll see past the high interest rates. You'll see past inflation. You'll see past, Teresa said, I went and bought groceries, and it was 400 and something off. Now, I bet y'all that wasn't groceries. Most of it was. And I thought, well, glory to God. I thought, oh, 450. Shoot, man, we used to couldn't spend 80. 450, and it don't make no difference. She said, I got to get rid of Walmart off my phone. It ain't Walmart. Walmart is not going, this is the Walmart out, got something on sale over here. You got to go in that Walmart out, and you got to look. You got to scroll, right? I've never seen a Walmart out wake anybody up and slap them in the head on the couch and say, I'm here. I'm being funny. Just been funny. So I want to encourage you. The Lord is speaking to us to make sure that we maintain vision. Vision of healing, health, houses being paid off, paying cash. Start out, I had to make up my mind. I don't borrow for vehicles anymore, pray God, not have them. I can have them, Johnny. And I can have good ones. You know? But I remember when that started out. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, help me. Help me, Father, to get it settled in my spirit that I will not borrow money. I know you will help me for vehicles, God. I want to be there. And Teresa, she encouraged me.
You can have stuff without borrowing money.
I wanted to go, psh. You ain't the one having to work. You ain't the one. But see, she's got a hold of the word, Johnny. She knows the promise. She knows that if I believe and we're in together, you know, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. The Bible says two's better than one, the threefold cord, Proverbs can't be broken. Well, Teresa, me, Holy Ghost, that's all three. And you know what? So I did it. I started thinking. I started dreaming, actually. I started seeing myself pay cash before I could ever pay cash. I started seeing myself do it and seeing myself do it. And you know what? The last two vehicles, I have paid cash money for them. I own them. They don't own me and the bank don't own them. So what I'm telling you is not far off from you. It's a matter, it don't take 20-something years of believing God. It's however quick that you get in faith and you get it established and you get in your believing and all of that stuff. Bradley told me one time, He said, Brother Scotty, listen. He said, if you will listen to the ones that are sound that has went before you, he said, you won't have to go and wait as long as they did to get there. He said, take what they have used, what they've learned from the Bible, and put it into practice, and you don't have to go that long to get there. And I thought, he sounds like my daddy, man. Just, old man, old preacher, you know, old man, but God, just believe God. Well, believing God means you got to put things into action. That's what he meant. Put things in like Sandy was talking about. So I want to encourage you. You know, I mean, don't let the devil say, well, the older I get, I'm going to get rot in my flesh. I just can't do what I used to do. And don't go around singing that devilish song. You go around singing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I did it. I'm coming back. I'm going to close with this. Come back to Birmingham today. I had to go to Birmingham. They back ordered some of my openers, and I had to go to Birmingham and get some where I can do the jobs. I got a big load in last Friday. Big. So much, I was going to tell them, don't bring me nothing this Friday. Y'all hold on to it. He's a more than enough God, you know. And I'm coming back, you know, and I'm driving. And I thought about what Travis said. He said, Dad, your muscles are not as big as they was before you had the heart attack. This has been a couple of years ago. And I thought, of course not. I hadn't did nothing in 6 weeks. And so I'm coming down the road, and I went, ooh, yeah, 55, baby. I'm still firm. Still got it. So I thought, well, but God, I know how to do. I know how to build them up. So I go in there, and I start winding the springs. I just put them up, and I start winding them springs, you know, all day. I just let Travis do something else. Why? I'm getting paid to build my muscles up. You know, go do them springs, man. Build them muscles up. Hallelujah. Praise God. I refuse to be weak in here. I might be weaker physically. I doubt it. I'm probably stronger physically now than I was. But I'm not going to let my mind deteriorate my body. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to encourage you. Don't lose your vision. Don't let down on your vision, praise God. You keep fasting and praying and seeking God, and absolutely your vision will grow. Habakkuk 2, God enlarged their vision. God enlarged their capacity. He told them in Isaiah said over there, enlarge our capacity to believe. Enlarge your tent. Strengthen your tents, he says. Strengthen your stakes. So our vision will actually grow. I'm getting excited. I told Johnny, he's a missionary. The other day I put a door in for him, and I said, Johnny, yep. I said, I think I need to go to Mexico. Have you got your passport? And I said, nah. And that little young dude over here, he said,
I didn't get one, buddy. What's, you know, if you got to have faith, you just believe God, you ain't got to get a passport.
I thought, I looked at him, I said, you want to die, don't you? Man, they catch you over there without a passport, they're going to shoot you, man. They will. You go across the border over, they got kids out there 10 years old, machine guns. They got kids 8, 9, 10 years old in the grocery stores. You don't steal a loaf of bread. They'll put you in the grave over there, man. I told Johnny, I said, well, I said, I don't know. I said, they want me to come to India. You know, I said, I got to be led to the Lord. I said, but you know, I'm thinking about a missionary trip, man. I'm, you know, see, I used to be afraid of flying. You get in that jet, starts going before you ever start moving. You start across there, and then they go, and you go, and then it comes up like that, and you're like, oh, take the wheel, Jesus, take the wheel. I've never been off the ground, man. And I mean, it's like, it goes like that, and it's like, oh, you buckle up, you're like, give me the air mask, man, give me some oxygen. Then you get up in there and it levels out. Whoo, yeah. You feel sick at your stomach, you know. You just feel. And then they hit turbulence. Everybody come back to there. Do you want a margarita? Do you want a? No. Bring me some peanuts and orange juice. I'm sick of my stomach, man. Y'all drinking whiskey up here. Like, you can get whiskey on that plane, man. And everybody's over there. Yeah, they're getting drunk, you know. And then we hit turbulence. And all of a sudden, I went, oh, God. I looked at Johnny. I said, does that pilot, can he drink? Is he able to drink like the rest of these people? And I'm thinking he's done got drunk up there, man. He said, no, that's all cool. It's just turbulence. I said, what's turbulence, man? He said, it's just windy, you know. We're going. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you ain't got no brakes, man. But you know what? I'm not afraid of flying. But God, I used the scripture up there. God hadn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I used it, and then every time I'd have to swap planes, but God, it would be easier. I mean, it'd just get better and better and better. And now I'm like, but God, I'll fly. If that plane's going down, I'll win them to Jesus, and then I'll rebuke it from going down with me in it. But God, hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, keep your vision. Let's pray. Father, we praise you.